My guest tonight at the big table is a community activist in Inglewood. Hal Baskin has been working to bring peace and social justice to the South Side neighborhood. And for that work, Baskin was bestowed an honorary street sign. Baskin's name adorns a stretch of 65th Street. You may have seen this story in the news last year as Alderman Beal attempted to take back the designation after some of the community complained about Baskin's checkered past. See, he was once a gang member at the age of 19. But after political haggling and negotiations with a neighboring alderman, the street sign stayed. But that mini controversy hasn't stopped Baskin from continuing his work in the community. He runs the Peace Community Center in Inglewood. Peace stands for People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. And Baskin is also speaking out against the mayor in the Chicago Public Schools, who announced earlier this summer plans to bring a new high school to the area. The building would close four neighboring schools, and Baskin questions the motives and so-called community involvement touted by the city in this decision. Hal Baskin has lived in Inglewood for 57 years, and he joins me tonight at the big table. Mr. Baskin, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jeff.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Jeff.
All right, so let's first get into the Inglewood High School stuff. This is something that was announced a couple months back now, where this was touted as a good thing for Chicago. The idea that in Inglewood, the South Side neighborhood that often is not thought of when it comes to resources, especially from Chicago Public Schools, is getting a new high school. Community came out, you know, everyone's excited at the press conference. You say, hold on a second.
Well, one thing I do know about new schools, and I do know about Inglewood because I've been there for 57 years, and when you roll out a process from the CPS, you put a committee together, the CAC, you know, Community Action Council, whatever that is. Well, those councils have to have some type of organizing operating papers. They don't even have operating papers. They don't even have bylaws. So how can you be a committee that's speaking for the
and
community?
And
most of those leadership was from outside.
And this was touted by the city. They said, with residents of Inglewood, we've all determined together that this is a high school. And you're saying, not. I mean, this happens a lot when it comes to schools, the idea that people come in and they represent a community and it looks good on paper and photos and TV opportunities, but it might not necessarily be people who represent that community.
And that was not the truth when they said that the Inglewood residents was for this program. I mean, you can't displace teachers and displace you know, workers that work for CPS. You can't displace them. Then you can't fool us by saying we're going to build a brand new shiny school, but we're going to close four schools and move. It's not the building that educates the people. I'm saying it's the curriculum that you have in the building. When you take the curriculums out the building and you take the extracurricular activities out the building, like football, baseball, wrestling, swimming, the whole nine things that draw people and the technical aspect of it out of school, well, people have no choice but not to go to the school and move on elsewhere and go to other schools outside of the community. Well, new building, shiny, brand new, spanking building. Well, where you displace these young guys who go and young girls who go to these different various schools, you're going to put them all in one school. How's that possible when you got all this gang violence that's permeating the Inglewood community, and you read about it every day, all day? How do you protect those children? You know, we had the Darren Albert situation. Right. I mean, they haven't taken in account of that. They haven't really addressed the community leaders. I've been there, community activism, for the last 45 years. No one reached out to me and asked me to be a part of their committee. Why not? If Hal Baskin is a high-profile individual, why were I not invited to the ACAC committee? Well, because CPS put their own little committee together and say, look, y'all go out there and sell this program. And that's what they're trying to do. And it's not going to work because you're trying to close down Hope High School, Inglewood High School. You're trying to close down Harper High School.
Robeson.
And you're going to close down Robeson High School and make one big brand-new shiny
high
school.
Those are some traditional high schools in Chicago they're talking
about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to Francis Parker High School. I graduated in 1971. So I'm saying at a graduating class of 175, I ranked 45. Well, that means that's still not you. Top 45 of doing that. Well, it wasn't a building. The building was an old building. It was built back in 1921. I did pretty good.
So the argument is not that the infrastructure is that's not what's needed in Inglewood.
No.
You need curriculum. You need resources.
Absolutely.
You need these schools to be there. But the argument back from the city has been that those schools are under-enrolled. And they'll say this over and over that you'll have Robeson or Harper where because of a selective enrollment and other things that have happened around the city, you just don't have full class sizes. So the idea of this is almost a downsize to a new building.
Well, let's get into that enrollment piece. Well, if you got contract schools and charter schools who's zapping away from the Chicago public schools to feed them off into the high schools, the general high schools, CPS, yeah, that's going to happen. You're going to have low enrollment. Now, if you don't have the equipment inside those schools, the technology inside those schools, you don't have the curriculum inside those schools, yes, parents are going to find other schools they can send their children to get that. Well, what's been happening, if you take a look around, you got charter schools within the confines of some of those schools right now.
Right.
That's what's been zapping away. A chartered grammar school is not going to send, I'm saying, a kid to a non-chartered high school. So that's been zapped off. They haven't talked about that, of how CPS want to get out of the educating business in the city of Chicago, you know, and how do you regentrify a community? That's how you do it. You lessen education. You know, you take the curriculum out of the education out of the community. Then you let crime and violence permeate that. Then you take jobs and contracts and other opportunities out of the community. And voila, what do you have? So I'm saying you have a community, you can go in and say, well, the schools are not working. Let's put one big brand new school here and let's put all these children in there. You're crunching numbers. You're not looking at the welfare of those children. And that's what's been happening. That's why you have low enrollment. If the Mississippi River wasn't getting the tributaries to tribute to it, it wouldn't be the mighty Mississippi. It'd be the dried up Mississippi. And that's what happens when those high schools, when those feeder schools, they feed them to the general high schools. So I'm saying when they became charter schools and contract schools, they stopped feeding into the general. Yeah. That's why you got low enrollment.
And okay, so all that is, and you can make an argument, and you're making it, that this has been decades in the making.
I mean,
you can look at different mayors and other people that
Absolutely.
This is something in the way. But you are at the point where all those things have happened, and you still have to deal with the reality. We're kind of dealing with that in Springfield right now. What mismanagement of pensions, all that kind of stuff has happened. But what about the now? Does it help a kid who lives in Inglewood or neighborhoods around Inglewood that there would be one school that has a fully resourced new building, new opportunities, new curriculum, as opposed to the four schools that are under-enrolled that are that don't have the things I just mentioned?
Well, that would be fine in a perfect world. If you put the STEM program and other technical programs inside those four schools that you're talking about, believe you me, those children who are going outside of Inglewood be coming back to Inglewood because they're getting where they are. They're leaving because of those four schools that's not that old. I mean, Robeson's about 30-some years old.
Yeah, right.
You know, Inglewood about 40-some years old. I mean, world-class buildings at the time. Well, if you put the programs in, the kids will come back to the school. You won't have low enrollment and
under enrollment. So you're saying if you put selective enrollment in STEM and other
absolutely.
Back into the schools,
if you put STEM program
in
there. See, you got to have a tech prep. In the school, you got to have, you know, like I said, with CVS with avionics down at DuSalvo with avionics. I mean, done by with avionics. You don't have those type of classes, no technical classes in that now. You had reading, writing, arithmetic, and nothing else, no special mm-hmm. activities. When I went to school, you had, audiovisual. Mm-hmm. You had swimming, you had the wrestling, you know what I'm saying? You had the German, French, you had all these things that was going on in this class. You had the computer skills way back in 1969.
And they're not, and kids aren't getting that anymore?
That's not there in those schools, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So if you take those type of programs out, yes, a parent. Take for instance, my granddaughter, I just sent them out of town last night to Washington, D.C. You know what I'm saying? She's going to Howard. You know, she had to go way
Congrats,
across town
great, yeah.
to George Westinghouse. So I'm saying it was way on the north side from my south side Inglewood house. You know what I mean? For 4 years, she graduated with a 3.8 grade point average. Don't you know that I would like for her to go to school in the community if we had a school that's similar, perhaps mm-hmm. a hybrid school?
Your argument is not.
But it's not there. It's not the building, not the school
building,
not the brand new building.
Yeah.
It's the programs in the building. If they put the programs back in Harper, Inglewood, and Hope, and Robeson, believe you me, those children who are going outside, going to those other schools like High Park, just take for instance, High Park's boundaries, student boundaries, go all the way to the edge of Harper. So where are they going? So I'm in the boundaries. So I'm going to Hyde Park because they got a better curriculum.
Yeah,
they got some better things going there. And that's just the reality. And when they miss that part, they talk about low enrollment. Those are cold words. Low enrollment, under enrollment. So they're closing. They did that with 50 schools.
Right.
Low enrollment, underutilization, and closed 50 schools.
Hal Baskin is a neighborhood activist, community activist. He runs Peace, the Peace Community Center, which stands for People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. He's lived in the neighborhood for 57 years. One time, he's run for alderman a couple of times, and he's in studio tonight at the big table. Hal Baskin with us. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, community activist Hal Baskin. Hal Baskin is the man behind the Peace Community Center in the Inglewood neighborhood. PEACE stands for People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. Hal, you've been living in the neighborhood for 57 years.
Yeah.
Reading your story, you know, you have one that, I mean, you got interested in politics because of Harold Washington.
Yes.
Talk about that. Talk about what drew you to the world of Chicago activism and politics.
Well, as a young man growing up in Inglewood, basically practically all my life, you're seeing changes happening around you, and you want to get involved because politics is a part of your life, whether you like it or not. You can't die unless some politician signs your death certificate or your birth certificate. So back in the early 1970s, well, late 1960s, early 1970s, there was a young woman named Anna R. Lankford who ran for alderman of the 16th Ward back then. We'd been young and street people. She got us involved and engaged in that. We got in there, and she won the automatic spot back in 1971, running against the Democratic machinery, basically as an independent, mm-hmm. became a Democrat later on. So that inspired me to get involved in community on the community level. So in 1977, when Harold Washington decided to run after the death of the late Mayor Daley, we decided to get involved. Well, we know that the monies wasn't there and the organization structure wasn't there. But just think, in 1977, Harold Washington got 11% of the vote. Yeah, 11% of the vote. Now, let's fast forward that in 1982, when Anna Lankford threw her name out there to run for mayor of the city of Chicago. Everybody was searching around and said, well, Anna really didn't want to run, but that's the ploy to push Harold out there, because Harold was an articulate individual, very intelligent individual. Yeah. He knew how to make words fancy. He made people run to their dictionaries to find out what did he say and what did he mean, how he do it. And then he had Daley does in the race, with Jane Byrne, and they didn't have no great love for each other, so he utilized that to his advantage. And came out with the first African American mayor of the city of Chicago. So it inspired me to get involved. I didn't want to run from the political office. People asked me, say, Hal, why don't you run? You're articulate enough, you're handsome enough, you're intelligent enough. So why don't you run so you can go down there and bring something back to the community and not be a rubber stamp like most of the aldermen are, rubber stamps. And the mayor said, jump, and they said, hi. So I got involved in that on that aspect, on that level, because Harold Washington, we saw a movement with Harold Washington going in the right direction and being fair to all of the people.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, and you've run for alderman a couple of times, but I mean, to be an activist in any form, I mean, to run the Peace Center, you do have to have a relationship and negotiate with politicians and aldermen in the way that they're bringing funds back to the neighborhood. So how do you do that? If you have disdain for the political process, how do you work with the leaders of the community in the political
sense?
You don't have
to work with the leaders. You just got to know the process. See, I know the process. I know how to make the process work for me. I never needed a politician in my life to do anything. I'd use the process. Say when you got rules and regulations and laws that govern the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, I just use that to my advantage. And you can't afford for me to go out there so you haven't picked up the garbage. Me turn over 100 garbage cans in the alley and garbage running everywhere. You can't afford for me to do that and then call the press and have a press conference and they're not picking up the garbage. So I don't need them. I don't need the politicians to do nothing but what they're elected to do.
Right.
So I don't want them to do nothing spectacular, because when you elect them, you are their boss. They're not yours.
Right.
They got to do what you want them to do. You know, that's legal and above law. And see, many people don't understand that. They're your elected representatives. They're not your bosses. And say, I never needed one of them. So I work with what I need to work with. I work with the philanthropic organization. I work with the charitable organizations in order to keep my process working, to keep them from dictating policy. And
well, in Inglewood and several black communities in Chicago, I mean, what constitutes a community leader? Because you'll have aldermen and you'll have people of the church.
Well, the aldermen.
Who are the community leaders?
If the alderman is a community leader, they wouldn't have the name alderman. They're an elected official. If the pastor was a community leader, he wouldn't call a pastor. Community leader is the person to go above and beyond the call of duty and make those sacrifices with or without to make sure people in the community get served in the proper direction and get educated in the proper direction. What your politician is supposed to do, what your pastor is supposed to do. So I'm saying what the city is supposed to do as a whole for you. That's what community activism is. Leadership is a different situation. Yeah. So I'm saying I believe in the leadership team concept. I don't believe in the leader, because the leader, you're there come and go. But if you got a leadership team concept and you got things laying out as terms of your manifesto or what you want the community to look like, be like, feel like. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you push for with a leader. So a leader don't need all of those people who call themselves leaders. If they call themselves leaders, then they'll step down from being a pastor, step down from being an alderman, step down from being a mayor,
right,
and become what? Community leader.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because let's do this. Let's take a break and get an update on tonight's news, because I want to talk to you about Inglewood, because Inglewood is a neighborhood that I think has a marketing problem more than anything. I mean, it's a black neighborhood that has a lot that has crime. I mean, PEACE is called People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. This idea that violence can happen in any Southside neighborhood, and the substitute is it happened in Inglewood, and it happens over and over. You hear that about. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't crime in Inglewood. There is, but this idea that Chicago has almost made Inglewood the placeholder for Chicago.
Do you know crime and violence is only a symptom of a larger problem, basically socioeconomics? So, the economic level is high, crime and violence is low. When the economic level is low, crime and violence is high. Don't take no rocket science to figure that out. So why don't you put the resources in there and we can reduce the violence and reduce the crime? So I'm saying, you can't have your biggest employer in a community is the dope dealer. You can't have that.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what the city can do to change that perception. And then let's just also talk about the issues that are standing in the way of that happening in Inglewood. Hal Baskin is he runs the Peace Community Center in Inglewood. It's called People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. He's lived there for 57 years, community activist. We will continue the conversation with Hal here on The Download. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me tonight, The Big Table. Hal Baskin, the community activist in Inglewood. He's also the man behind the Peace Community Center. He also has been a political figure. He worked with Harold Washington, but he also ran for alderman a couple times. And, of course, we're talking to him tonight about some of the issues that are happening in Inglewood. You know, we talked about the school. I mean, really what it was it said, hey, I want to talk about the school stuff. And I said, I'd love to have you because, I mean, you have been a polarizing figure in Chicago politics, in Chicago neighborhood politics. I mean, you're controversial in the sense that with the street sign, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that people didn't want to give you a street sign because of your checkered past. You were in a gang when you were 19 years old. Some of the things you said on the campaign trail have ruffled feathers. I mean, do you see yourself? Do you think of yourself as a controversial figure in Chicago?
No. Other people may seem as though that I'm a controversial individual. But if when you run for politics, everything is very open. With that controversial checkered past, I can understand that when Anthony Beale said that, the checkered past, what checkered past are you talking about? My life is an open book. When you say former gang leader, yes, I never hid none of that. When I was a kid, I did kid things. When I became a man, I put away childish things and moved on. Well, how long how old do a person have to be before become a man? Or do I have to stay a boy all my life? Well, I grew up, I grew past that. You know, the Bible even tells you that, you know. Mm-hmm. When you become an adult, you leave your mom and dad and cleave to your wife and move on and be an adult. So some people won't let that go, but that's politics. I don't let that bother. It's not personal. Many people take politics personal. It's not personal. It's a business, you know, and they lose that. So that makes me controversial because I'm an independent thinker. I can say what I want. Don't nobody own me. They can't buy me. They can't intimidate me. They can't frighten me. I'm not afraid of anything. I got more years behind me than I got in front of me. So I'm a free and everything. I can do what I need to do and say what I need to say. So politics is one of those footnotes where it's that you can get your issues out there, your platforms out there, and make people aware of what's really going on.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting because that played out in a – I mean, I wonder how it felt emotionally for you that they put up an honorary street sign and then in the middle of the night tried to take it down. But, I mean, the idea that you've dedicated your life to activism in the community, but you are – you know, at 19 years old when you were a child, you were in a gang. And people said, hey, if you're in a gang, you can't have an honorary street sign on 65th Street. I mean, how did you feel about all that kind of playing out?
I didn't feel anything. They could have took them all down for our concern. But my mother's 93 years old, be 94. And she saw them go out. She saw the smile on her face. Coming out of West Point, Mississippi, having 14 children and raising them in the city of Chicago on the south side in Inglewood, it made her heart feel glad. But I've been seeing signs with my name on it for the last 35, 40 years. So the signs don't mean anything to me. But those signs represents a fact that you can change. And it's an inspiration to young folks. Say, look, I can do that. I can aspire to do that. If I do good things. So I'm saying good things are happening for me. So that's what it's about. It's about inspiration. Because to me, like I told Bill and the rest of them, they can take them down tomorrow. It doesn't matter to me. Signs don't make me make the character that I am. And, you know, get your facts right. Do real research and start reading the paper and reading your own, you know, fanfare about who Hal Baskin is. Ask me about me and I can tell you who I am right away. But – No, it don't bother me. You make yourself a target. You make yourself open. You get out there, and most folks take it personal. I don't take it personal. I mean, there's a political situation with Bill, the discreet science. He's out there. And how many people have went out there and told him that, well, we don't want that. We got some problems with Hal Baskin. Well, I got 300 people on the line that along that corridor who signed a petition and said, we want this. Now, what people have you talked to? You talk to some political people that don't like me? And they got, so we iron that out. I've been knowing his daddy. You know, his daddy worked at the Chicago Police Department, and he was one of the security in the school back in the early 1960s when I was going to Francis Parker High School before he was born. So I said, well, you know, just go home and ask your father about who Hal Baskin is. You know,
in your line of work at the Peace Community Center, and when you talk about being a community activist and bringing change and bringing peace to Inglewood, which has had its share of violence, does it help you to have that past? To have the past of being a kid and being a gang member when you're talking to young kids?
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. In 1991, there was 100 homicides in Inglewood. I was asked by community leaders and activists, church, clergy, businessmen, say, hey, look, this violence has got too much. So I'm saying, could you step out? Yeah, so I went on the highways and byways and talked to people who were in leadership and brought people together because of that background that I have. People would talk to me. You ain't going to talk to Joe Stewart down the street because Joe Stewart don't know that. And he ain't been there and done that. I've been there and done that, so they trust me at that. So I'm saying, so in 1991, I put a peace treaty together on Mother's Day, and the two warring factions agreed and upheld that, and the homicide rate dropped in 1991 to 1992 by 37%, and the following year by 20%, and then they reinvented this thing called community policing and had Inglewood one of the prototypes. Myself and Dr. John Porter helped put together the script in the quadrants for the prototype for CAPS that made it successful. Good concept, great concept. So I'm saying, but it wasn't going to work in actuality because you didn't have the right people.
Yeah, but then they're working on bringing that back. You hear the superintendent talking about community policing like crazy right now.
Oh, yeah, but you gutted it. You took it out. You gutted it, first and foremost. You took everything out, all the resources out of it. You gutted it and left it out there and left it hanging, and it's just a name only. You got to get real community policing by getting the people involved in that and not having a bunch of police officers sitting up in a meeting conducting the whole advent, and you putting some scrawl person there that's a puppet. You can't do that. Real community policing have community involved. Community involvement on all levels.
You hear this all the time, Hal, and people will talk about how young people, when it comes to crime and gangs, it's changed. That there used to be in 1991, there might have been a respect for Hal Baskin to say, hey, listen, I've been in your shoes. I walked a mile. I can help you. Today, kids are indifferent. They're not necessarily in the same sort of gang structure hierarchy. They don't really care about their elders in certain ways. I mean, do you still have the impact that in 2017 that you might have had in 1991?
Yeah, myself and others. You know, first of all, I don't handle shooting at the Peace Community Center. The kids come there every day, all day, and I don't have those problems. The problem is that you can't lead them if you can't feed them. So I'm saying, and what I try to do, I try to feed them, not just educationally, get them jobs, contracts, and opportunities. In 2003, I formulated an organization called the Inglewood Political Task Force. From that point, from 2003 to 2017, I have put 850 people to work in the construction industry by shutting down sites and putting young men in. You should see the looks on those faces when they go in there with making $29.10 an hour at the time. It's a lot of money for a person to go not understanding, just doing labor work. They come home, they get them, they're tired at the end of the day. So that's a gang deactivator. So I'm saying, because you're tired at the end of the day, you ain't selling no dope, you ain't shooting nobody, you too tired to go out there and do some things. So you got to be able to feed them. So if you take some from somebody, you got to substitute with something else. They miss that part. It don't take rocket science to figure that out. If you got young folks, and then they take this for instance. You got a lot of kids that's wards of the courts, wards of the state. Some of them got mental disorders in terms of learning disabilities. And then you let them roam the street, and they're supposed to be on medication, and you don't have no youth health facilities to address that issue. Yeah, and you tell me the school, we got learning disabled, the community inside these schools, 36%. Why is that? Why is that? If you know that's going on, what have you did to address that? So those are some things. Yeah, I do have that because I have the name recognition, and I've been there, and I've helped them. That's what I do. They lean on me. Hey, Hal, I need a couple of dollars. Okay, well, your mom, here it is. Go take care of that. get back in school. Get over here. Hey, Hal, I got a problem with this. Let me go ahead and try to address that problem. They're looking for somebody. They're looking for some love. They're looking for a hug. All the houses are not intact. You know what I'm saying, in Inglewood. That's like in any other white ethnic community. All the houses are intact. Everybody don't have mom and daddy. They don't have an Oz and a Harriet family or a Beaver Cleaver family. So I'm saying, I mean, it's a diverse type situation. Big mom sometimes is the only person there. you know, mama or daddy is nowhere around, but big mama's dead, you know, and big mama handled the best way she knew how. So this is not new. So yeah, they respect the Hal Baskin when they come down. They call me Hal or Harold or Mr. B. You know what I'm saying? You know, can I do this? No, you need to get back to school. What are you doing out? Oh, I couldn't go today. My pants weren't washed. Well, come on back here, boy, and take this money. Go on down there, wash those clothes, take a few dollars for yourself, and make sure you get in school tomorrow. Yeah, they had a respect for me because of that checkered past they talk about. Because I was a former gang leader, because people in and outside the Cook County Jail know me, you know what I'm saying, from my past history. And they respect me because I give them respect. You know what I'm saying? Leaders from all walks of life, all across the city, respect Hal Baskin because I respect them. You know what I'm saying? You can't get nothing that you don't give, and I respect them. And when I have my beck and call out, they answer my call. They come and get my guidance. I seek their guidance sometime, and then we make things work. We make things happen. That's what happened in 1991.
Let me ask you, Hal, about the concept of respect. Mm-hmm. Because I can make that – I'd love to talk about respect when it comes to what we talked about right before the news about the idea of Inglewood.
Right.
That Inglewood is an African-American community that has seen its ups and seen its downs and has become the placeholder. Whenever there's a shooting in the south side of Chicago, people say, oh, Inglewood, when it wasn't even near Inglewood. Talk about that. Talk about the respect and the fact that Inglewood, only negative stuff comes out of Inglewood. We never hear the positive
stories.
Well,
when you want to destroy a community, what you do, you remove the educational system. You make it go to pots. You don't put the security around there with the policing. You don't put the jobs and contracts and other opportunities in there. You don't put the grocery stores that you need in there. You don't do the sanitation part of that. So yes, if a person gets shot in New City, oh, that's Inglewood. Chicago Line, that's Inglewood. Auburn Gresham, that's Inglewood. You know, I mean, Woodline, that's Inglewood, because it's in close proximity, so they'll say that. And no one addresses that or straighten that out in no form or fashion. So we got that bad reputation, but they don't understand one thing. About 100 years ago, Inglewood was one of the top 10 communities in this country, okay? Inglewood is 6.5 square miles from the Dan Ryan to Hamilton, 75th to 55th. All arterial streets in Chicago run through Inglewood. You know, you got 11 minutes to the Loop, 10 minutes to Midway. I mean, you got two major L's, the red line and the green line run through there. It's prime real estate. People want that back. You know what I'm saying? You got to remember, the city of Chicago is becoming smaller and whiter, okay? And people got to realize that. And it become segmented, richer and poor. And there's no such thing as a middle class. A middle class person is one check away from being down on the lower level of being poor. So, yeah, they'll have that stigma, that negative stigma. But if they have that negative stigma, they know that's there. What are you trying to do about it? Have you really talked to the people addressing? Oh, you throw me a Whole Foods out there. You knew that wasn't going to work. I guarantee you it'll be closed within the next 12 months. So you got to deal with realism. Yeah, you made the prices down lower so everybody across the city can come and shop at their store. But when the prices went back up, they went back to their normal stores, not the stores over there struggling and suffering. So you can't play with us with games with that. So, yeah, you're going to make Inglewood a negative place when you want that place back. Remember, Inglewood was not a part of City Chicago. After the Great Fire, it became incorporated in the city of Chicago.
So you think that there are forces at play that say that's
oh,
prime location we want it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, where can you get on the Dan Ryan Expressway and get downtown in 11 minutes? You got exits at 55th Street, 59th Street, 63rd Street.
Let me ask you this, Hal. We're getting close to wrapping up here. And I think about this, you know, because you mentioned your time with Harold Washington. And Mayor Washington, the story was that he opened the door for African-American communities to sort of break the system that was created by the old mayor, Mayor Daley, and get, if not equal, at least start the process. And there was some to be said that Mayor Daley, the younger Mayor Daley, Richard M. Daley, he picked up that playbook because he wanted to keep the African-American neighborhoods voahing for him. And then Rahm Emanuel, here's the mayor of Chicago, who has deviated a little bit in the sense that, you know, he hasn't had the greatest relationship because of what happened with Laquan McDonald and others. Where are African-American communities like Inglewood, are they better or worse off than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago?
They're worse off. Let's go back to Harold Washington. Harold Washington, opened up the process for parity. You know what I'm saying? That's for all races in the city of Chicago. I mean, because that was it. He was not a race baiter. He was a person who loved this city. You know what I'm saying? His father was a part of the love of this city. So Harold Washington put some things in the hopper before he passed. that I got a little respect for Daley, Richard M. Daley, because he picked up that torch and carried out most of the stuff that you see that Daley carried out. Harry Washington already had put it in motion. He finished it off,
and I
got to applaud him for that. Now, breaking off from that, and Emmanuel coming along, he just didn't pick up the torch and just run with it. I mean, he wanted to be dictatorial. So I'm saying, I mean, I know he got a little ego. I mean, he's a middle-aged, 56-year-old guy. You know, he got a little ego. But you got to understand, you got to talk with the people, not at the people. And you got to talk with the people and to the people. And the reality of he had lost that edge because he's accustomed to being in Washington, D.C., that high-profile piece. Now, that's fine. But look, poor little Joe Blow out there, the mayor of the city of Chicago is only as strong as the weakest link. And the weakest link is some young guy, a derelict sitting on the street corner that don't have no place to go. He's as strong as that. But he got to understand one thing. Stop listening to those little guys that you got that's handling you and listen to some people who got their ear to the ground, who's out there and can tell you what's going on. Because I know you're listening to your handlers and they typing them and getting crunching numbers and this, that, and another. You know what I'm saying? But you got to stop listening to them if you're hearing this channel. Mr. Mayor, you got to stop listening. You got to listen to the people who are around there, who's trustworthy, who understands the beat in the hearts of the people all across the city, and listen to them and then follow their dictates as opposed to somebody trying to market you as something that you're not. So, yes, it is worse off right now, you know what I'm saying, because we did have schools open way back then with Harold Washington. We did have the police doing the best they could, the job with the process that they had, you know, with that. And then we did have cleaner neighborhoods. You know, Harold Washington put his stuff on that, you know. Chicago works, the city that works, Chicago works. You know what I'm saying? That's what those little pale pens were, Chicago works. And Harold Washington made sure he was out there in those communities to make that work. And if they really want to make this work, this city of Chicago work, and places like Inglewood to work, then the mayor of the city of Chicago should come off that north side, buy my house in Inglewood, move into Inglewood, and bring all the resources with him. He'll understand and find out how you can reduce crime and violence in the Inglewood community.
Hal Baskin is a community activist from the Inglewood neighborhood in the south side of Chicago. He runs the Peace Community Center, which is PEACE stands for People Educated Against Crime in Inglewood. He's lived here for 57 years, politician, activist, and member of Chicago, City of Chicago. Hal, thanks so much for taking some time out being my guest at the big table.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you.